Hey, introduction to chart patterns. This is really a good one for the beginners out there, but I think it also will reinforce concepts for the more advanced traders as well. The chart patterns are very, very powerful, and I want to show you the different kinds that there are. I'm going to show you a lot of the basics. But before I get started, I do want to tell you a little bit about myself and what I'm about. As far as education goes, I have a bachelor's in mathematics from USC, fight on, a master of science in information resource management. I've had over 25 years studying the markets, and honestly, it's been longer than that because I have actually been involved. I was involved in high school with my father. He's the one who taught me pretty much most of what I know. The CMT filled in the gaps. But I've been studying, or it's been more than 25 years, let's just put it that way. But I don't give myself credit for those years that I was raising my kids because I didn't pay attention to the market quite as much as I normally would have. So currently I'm a vice president. I'm the senior technical analyst at decisionpoint.com. At stockcharts.com, I'm actually not on StockCharts TV anymore. I'm on my own Decision Point YouTube channel, which I would definitely encourage you to go and subscribe to. All you have to do is go to YouTube, and the name of the page is at decisionpoint.com. And there you'll get the replays of my free trading rooms that I do on Mondays. I do have a free Decision Point blog on stockcharts.com. All you have to do is sign up, like I said, on my homepage for my free newsletter, and you will get notified when I do those new blog articles. Oh, yes. And I host the Decision Point Trading Room, which is on Mondays. But like I said, it's now on our Decision Point YouTube channel. You can join live when we're recording it. And again, you'll find information on my homepage at decisionpoint.com. There's actually an ad that you can click on, and that'll get you right into my free trading room on Mondays. No charge, no charge. All right, so how do we identify patterns? So we're going to talk about recognizing the basic patterns, the bullish ones and the bearish ones. I'm also going to talk to you about some of the signals and the minimum targets that often are you have the ability to use with a chart pattern. And then I'll talk a little bit about setting stops using chart patterns. It helps to know what's going on with that chart pattern to set up some of your stops, but it's really, there are a lot of other things that you have to take into account when you're setting your stops. But primarily, I will talk about those basics at the end. So let's talk about these bullish chart patterns. There's the ascending or the symmetrical triangle. There is the bull flag, which I love. Those are great. The falling wedge, which is the wedge patterns are excellent. The wedge patterns tend to come true, I mean, very often. I couldn't give you a percentage because I haven't tracked it, but I'll tell you just from watching all these 25 years, the falling wedge and the rising wedge patterns are very accurate. There's the double and triple bottom. There is a cup with handle pattern, and there is a V bottom pattern. Those are really spectacular to get a hold of. We found a lot of those, obviously, at the end of 2020 when we started to move into 2021 with the rally we had, saw a lot of V bottoms at that point. And then, of course, the reverse head and shoulders. The head and shoulders itself is a bearish pattern, but the reverse version is bullish. So let's look at a couple of these patterns, and I'll talk a little bit about what they tell us. So this is the ascending triangle, and this is determined by a flat top and rising bottoms. And this tells you that you've got that overhead resistance that's holding, but bulls are starting to win. The rising trend shows you that they're starting to win. The rally is starting to narrow, and it's going to be time for a breakout. And that's what we got on this particular example here for Costco. The ascending triangle is considered a continuation pattern. That means that typically you're going to get a continuation of the prior trend. But at the same time, this can also show up at a bottom and be a reversal pattern. So you really, ultimately, no matter where this pattern falls, I think you're in good shape. So look for those flat tops with the rising bottom, and that implies you're going to get an upside breakout. The symmetrical triangle is a continuation pattern. So this pattern, when you catch these, and you'll find these a lot, what you want to do is determine what the trend was prior to the formation of this chart pattern. So if you're coming down into the symmetrical triangle, your expectation is a breakdown. Now, if you come up into the symmetrical triangle, the expectation is a breakout. So you can see these resolve in either direction, but typically you're going to see those continuations of the prior trend, but they can break in either direction. Typically, you're looking for about a 3-week duration on these symmetrical triangles, but I'm finding really that with chart patterns in general, you can use them on any type of chart. You can use it on a 1-minute chart. You can use it on a daily, a monthly. I find that they tend to work regardless of whether they're on a daily chart or, say, a 5-minute chart. Bull flags, I love these. These are great. And I actually have an example of a current one that's in the process of breaking out from a bull flag. I'll show you that example at the end. I tried to find some real life, examples in terms of more near term, but I wasn't so successful in doing that. But I did have two that I wanted to show you, three. One I haven't talked about yet. All right. So it's best if the flag itself is trending down. So you get a flagpole or a really strong rally to the upside, and then you get that consolidation. And what we really want to see is the consolidation moving downward. It's a great way to work out those overbought conditions. If you have a flag that tends to rise off of a flagpole, tends not to come together like you would expect. So typically, I'm not going to really mark up a bull flag on my charts unless I see it declining or it could move sideways. I'm okay with a flag moving sideways, but really having a flag that kind of comes down like this is going to get you better results. This pattern tends to execute as we would expect. This is a second flag, and this one has a pennant on it. So it's like a little symmetrical triangle on the end of a flagpole. And remember, symmetrical triangles are continuation patterns. So the expectation is that upside breakout to continue the trend that led into that symmetrical triangle or pennant, as we call it, when you get that symmetrical triangle on the end. All right. The next thing I want to talk about is upside targets. Now, bull flags are great in the fact that you can calculate targets, and that really can help you with setting your own upside targets when you get into a stock. So here is the first flag right here. The minimum upside target, and I say minimum, these are minimum upside targets. It's important to understand that. The targets for chart patterns are minimum, meaning a minimum upside target means this is where it should go, but it could go higher than that. So it's not saying that at that point, once it hits that target, that that's when you're going to get the decline. Kind of worked out this way on this particular chart, which is why I picked it. So you have that first flag. The upside target is calculated by the length of the flagpole. And you take the length of the flagpole and add it to the breakout point. And that would give you your upside target. So when this formed, the upside target was up here, right? Then we had on the way up, another flag came in. And we measured the flagpole here, added it to the top, and that's where the next upside target was for the flag. Price did end up reaching that level, didn't quite tap the tap that level, but it still did what we were expecting it to do. And actually, I'm looking over here and I can see a little reverse head and shoulders pattern that I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But here would be your head. That would be a left shoulder. And that right there would be a right shoulder. But I have another example for that. So the best thing about these is it does help you set those targets so that you know kind of where you're looking for that stock to go. And then you can make those determinations when you get close to those targets, whether the stock is still displaying the kind of strength that you want to see, the kind of momentum you want to see. And then you can determine if it's going to move past that upside target, or you can use that target level as a place to sell and take some profits. The falling wedge, and like I said, I love the wedge patterns. They almost always come true. And you can see here that we have a falling wedge. So it's different than the symmetrical triangle. The symmetrical triangle is going to give you the downside, but then it has a rising trend line at the bottom. In the case of the wedge, these are both declining trend lines, but this one is getting steeper and this one is not. So what we're looking for here is as the rally starts to, as the decline starts to narrow, bulls are starting to win out. And so the idea is you're going to see that breakout come out of the falling wedge. So these are typically reversal patterns. You're going to typically see them at the bottom of a move, but they are also can be continuation patterns. So you can also see the continuation of what's going on. So this would not be considered a reversal because it came in after a rising trend. So it would be a continuation because falling wedges are always bullish. So whether they show up at the bottom of your chart or at the top of your chart, doesn't matter. They're always a bullish pattern, but they can break in either direction. It just depends on where they're located on the chart. If they're on the bottom of the chart, you're still expecting that upside breakout. If it's in the middle of the chart, like we're seeing here coming in off of a rising trend, your breakout is still going to be to the upside. And you can see that this pattern executed beautifully with a gap up and then a continuation following through after that. The bullish double bottoms, these are probably the easiest ones to identify. They look like W's. And so the other nice thing about these formations is that you can calculate those targets on it. Not all of them can be, not all patterns have upside targets as you just saw with the falling wedge. Although I would have to say, if I can go back, here we go, that typically what you're going to see is the height of the back of your wedge, add it to the breakout point. But typically, you know, that just takes you back kind of to where you were before the pattern set. So I don't really use targets on the wedge patterns. But like I said, we can use them for the double bottom. So the double bottom, like I said, it looks like a W, pretty easy. Now, the one thing you should know about chart patterns is that they aren't actually the pattern until they confirm. So in this case, the confirmation of the pattern is when price gets above the middle of that W. So your confirmation line runs through the middle of the W. You can see over here. So back here on this one, we had a 6.6% decline. Really, it's a matter of height, not percentage-wise. It just sort of turned out that way on this one. But what your upside targeted is the height of the pattern again. So on the double bottom, the height of the pattern added to the breakout point where you got the confirmation of the pattern, and your upside target is up here. And it did manage to get there on this particular double bottom. Here's the next double bottom that formed right here. There's your W, confirmation line going right through the center of the pattern. Height of the pattern measurement here, same height going upward. That's where your minimum upside target is of this pattern. In the case of this particular chart, you did get above that minimum upside target, did end up falling after that, but the pattern fulfilled as expected. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say about this chart before I move on. I think that covers it, but I love the double bottom. The triple bottom, I don't know that I have a chart here for the triple bottom, but it's looks the same as the W, only it's got three bottoms on it instead of just the two. But I think I might have a chart for that in a little bit. The cup with handle is also a bullish pattern. Often we talk about cups or saucers as being like a basing pattern. It's forming a base. We get the breakout and then bears start to pull their weight a little bit and drag price down. It's time for consolidation after you get that big breakout. And that's exactly what you're getting as far as the handle goes. And that makes that declining trend, forms the handle. And then typically what you're looking for is a breakout that will take you past the left side of the cup. So this really could be the cup right here. And you got the decline here on the handle. And then we got the breakout and it took us well above this particular side of the cup all the way back up here. So the cup with handle is one that I do see fairly often on charts. It does tend to come true. I think it's because it usually means a nice rally, a mechanical pullback, and then the breakout. So I think that's why I see a lot of these come true, if you will. There is no upside targets to be determined on a cup with handle, at least that I'm familiar with. The V bottom, I love these. These are awesome. This is when you catch one of those. This is where we had the big decline on this one here for Dell. And then we moved further upward, formed a V. And the expectation is a breakout to higher highs, a breakout past the left side of that V. So the expectation is you're actually going to get this move right up to the upside past this level on the V. So what you're looking for is for price to get retrace one third of the left side of the V. Once you get one third of a retracement, that's when the pattern is confirmed. That's when you start looking for that breakout past the left side of the V. These are great patterns if you can find them. Like I said, coming out of the 2020 lows and moving into 2021, we found a lot of V bottom charts, and it was certainly very profitable to find those particular chart patterns. The reverse head and shoulders. So like I said, I knew I had a chart of the reverse head and shoulders. Okay, so what you're looking for is the head of the body here. That's like a head. And this is a left shoulder. So you had the decline here. You had the rally up. It wasn't able to continue there. It failed. You got the big decline. Whoops, go back. You got the big decline. There's your right shoulder with your rally and the pullback to the right shoulder and then the move upward. Now, the pattern is not confirmed. It's not a head and shoulders until it gets above what we call the neckline, where you connect the as you go in from the left shoulder up and as you go from the right shoulder down. Those are the two points that you connect to come up with the neckline. A lot of times they are straight across like this, but it is okay if they tend to trend upward a little or if they tend to trend downward a little. I like them best if they do come across sideways or moving down a little bit, because that tells me that the breakout will probably be stronger if we're coming in out of a bit of a decline there. So it's harder to confirm the pattern if you have a rising neckline. So that takes away from the pattern as well when you have that. But it is something that you will see. These patterns, I've seen a couple of these pop up. Head and shoulders are not my favorite patterns because they do tend to not come into play. They don't do exactly what they're supposed to, but they're still worthwhile recognizing because it does give you at least some idea of the condition of the chart and whether the price has that opportunity to break out or not. It's still better than not seeing a pattern at all, in my opinion. The head and shoulders pattern, you can do targets on. I don't have them listed here, but what you do is you take, again, the height of the pattern. There's the height of the pattern, and you add it to the breakout point. And in this case, that would have taken price pretty much right up to where it ended up back here. So this pattern did fulfill. It took some time. The pattern did not get erased because we didn't lose it past the head, but it was still looking pretty dicey there. But ultimately, the pattern paid off and we did get that move all the way to the upside on the breakout. These are only reversal patterns. Don't ever look for, if you see a reverse head and shoulders at the end of a rally, it's not a reverse head and shoulders because these are only reversal patterns. So if you see, and I didn't mention that about the double bottom, the double bottoms are also reversal patterns. You can't see, you may see a W at the end of a rally, but it doesn't count because these are reversal patterns and they need to come in off of a decline. So just remember that if you start to spot some of these, which is good, you need to start spotting them on your chart. But just remember that the reverse head and shoulders, the double bottom are definitely reversal patterns and need to occur at the bottom of a decline. All right, let's talk a little bit about some bearish chart patterns. We have the descending or the symmetrical triangle again. We have a rising wedge instead of a declining wedge. We have the bear flag, so the opposite of the bull flag. We have double and triple tops. So now we're going to be talking about M's, if you will, instead of W's. And then there is the all too famous head and shoulders pattern, which, like I said, not to say that they're bad patterns, but I don't know. I find that they just don't resolve like they're supposed to and hit those targets like they should. But ultimately, it's still important to recognize the pattern because it does give you some sense of where that stock is likely headed. The broadening pattern, a lot of people aren't familiar, but a broadening pattern, it looks like a megaphone. Those are also bearish patterns, and I'll show you one of those in a little bit. And one that people don't talk about, but should, are the parabolic patterns or parabola. These are very dangerous chart patterns, and you have to be very careful when you start getting involved in a stock or an ETF that is in a parabolic rise. I will tell you that NVIDIA would be one right now that is in a parabolic move. I'm not saying that NVIDIA is going to crash tomorrow. I'm just saying that maintaining a vertical rise like that is extremely difficult. And we do need to look for some sort of a pullback, if nothing else, or a consolidation period coming off of the parabolic move that we're seeing in NVIDIA right now. So here's your descending triangle. This has the flat bottom. You'll remember the ascending triangle had a flat top. The descending triangle has a flat bottom and a declining tops. So think about it this way. The support is holding. So the bulls are keeping things in line. They're keeping things above support, but bears are starting to win. And that's why you're getting this declining trend as the bears start to win. And if the bears are going to start to win, what's going to end up happening is they will win. And then you get that breakdown below that flat bottom, that support level. And so that's what you want to beware of with those descending triangles. These patterns, I find, are they can be reversal. They can be continuations. Doesn't really matter where they appear. Ultimately, they're bearish and they will always suggest a downside move. So there's nothing ever good about it, whether it's at the top of the chart or at the bottom of the chart, it does not matter. Now, I do calculate targets on the descending triangle, and I do it on the ascending triangle as well. Basically, you're looking at the back part of the pattern, that height, and then you want to add that to the bottom of the pattern, and that gives you the downside target, which was down here, and which it did eventually hit. So this was a pretty important top here on Nucor, and we lost that support level, and away price went on to the downside. So flat bottom, declining tops is your descending triangle. I will say that if anybody would like to have copies of my PowerPoint, I'm happy to give that to you. Just get in touch with me at Aaron@decisionpoint.com. That's Aaron@decisionpoint.com. And I can get you these slides so you can have a reference when you're looking at these. I will say that one of the best books on chart patterns that I've found is Introduction to Chart Patterns. It's just like my presentation title, by Thomas Bukowski. And you can still, I think, find that book out there. But any of the Thomas Bukowski, he is the go-to guy for chart patterns, Thomas Bukowski. And so I would recommend checking out any of the books that he may still have available in print. But that Introduction to Chart Patterns is very, very readable, very easy to understand, and gives you much more background than what I'm able to give you here in today's briefing. The rising wedge, this is bearish. These patterns show up all the time. And as I said, wedge patterns do tend to execute in the direction that they're supposed to. They are reversal patterns. They're going to reverse the prior trend. So right here, the trend is upward and the wedge has formed and the expectation is a breakdown. It's sort of the same idea with the ascending triangle. The bears start to win as this tops, rising tops here, as that line starts to get less steep. That tells you that it's less steep than this one. So that tells you the bears are starting to win. Also, maintaining the rising trend is very hard to do when it is steep. And if it's steeper than what you're seeing on the top here, that's your wedge. And that's where you look for that breaking downward. Now, you could take the back of this pattern and add it to the breakdown point. But like I said, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It just tells you it's going to bring price back pretty much to where price was when the pattern was starting to be developed. So not a good picture here. This is an old picture of Bitcoin's chart back when it was 24,000. Clearly not worrying about bearish patterns right now on Bitcoin. The reverse flag formation is a continuation pattern. It's just like the bull flag, only it's upside down. You have the flagpole, and then you have a rising trend here. So I like the flag rising on a bear flag. That's usually going to tell you that it's going to execute. You have that big decline. You have this period of consolidation. Bulls are trying to get back in here, but they fail, and the bears ultimately win, and you're going to see a move further down. The target of the pattern is, again, the height of the flagpole, added or subtracted, if you will, from the top or from the bottom of the pattern, the breakdown point. And so in this case, the flag was this tall, and the downside target is back down here. We didn't quite make that downside target, but certainly had you seen this flag, you would have been probably trying to take some, trying to get some of the money back on this loss, because the flag is certainly implying it's going to go further down. And if you're trying to get back in thinking, well, it's had the decline, it's on its way back up. No, that's the reverse flag going on here, and you don't want to get involved when you see those particular patterns on your chart. It can help you set that upside target, like I said, though, or the downside target. So you know, if you wanted to short the stock, you could certainly do that and have an idea of how far down the price should be going based on that pattern. The bearish double top, this is that one that looks like an M. All right, these are only reversal patterns, so you have to come up into the pattern. Like I said, W's and M's are pretty easy to see. You may notice that this is the same chart I used for the bullish double bottom, because here's a double bottom there, and there's the other double bottom right there. But in this case, we got that double top in between. You can do a measurement, again, to determine your minimum downside target. And again, minimum, these are minimums. It could go further. And in this case, it certainly did. So there's the height of that pattern subtracted from the confirmation line, which is right there. And that would put price down to this level. And it did end up going much further below that at the time. So definitely a good pattern to look out for. The pattern itself doesn't what we call bust, because you do notice there was this rally over here and you're probably like, well, what about that? The pattern is always, it stays alive, if you will, as long as price does not retrace back and up above the M. As long as price stays below that, the tops of the M, then the pattern has not been busted. And so in this case, we had a couple of last gasp rallies, but ultimately the double top won out and price did fall past that minimum downside target. Triple top. Now, I didn't have a triple bottom for you, but I do have a triple top. And you can see there's, rather than just an M, there's another one right there. So you have three tops. You have a confirmation line. This isn't perfect because price didn't come all the way down to the confirmation line over here, but ultimately it's a triple top. It's about as close to that flat bottom confirmation line as you can get. I could have probably made the confirmation line a little bit rising there, but ultimately I think this is the best mark of the confirmation line. So you take the height of the pattern again, height of the pattern, and then subtract it from the confirmation line. And that brings you down to your minimum downside target. And in this case for IBM, that is exactly what happened, is we got the breakdown from that confirmation line, pattern confirmed, went down to that minimum downside target. We did get a fake out here of a rally, but at the same time, what was this? Long flagpole flag. So that did tell us that even though we're getting that rally, we have to be careful because there's a reverse flag in play. Like I said, we ended up getting that pop, but ultimately the triple top won out and we ended up seeing price move down below that minimum downside target. Here is your famous head and shoulders pattern. So here is the head of the pattern. There's your left shoulder and there's your right shoulder. And again, the neckline determined by the bottoms between the left shoulder and head, between the head and the right shoulder. Those bottoms are what determine the neckline. In this case, the neckline is rising, which means it's going to be even easier to execute this pattern. These are only reversal patterns. So you don't want to be looking at a decline and then see that head and shoulders. It's not a continuation pattern. It's only a reversal pattern. It's going to come in after a rising trend. Typically, what you'll see is volume is a bit higher on the right shoulder than on the left shoulder. As I said, it's a reversal pattern. In this case, and I think this is a great example of a head and shoulders, they don't always come true. They do call for these breakdowns, which we got, but notice that the downside target measured by the height of the pattern subtracted from the neckline, this was our downside target down here, and price didn't ever get that close. It did give us the breakdown, so we did have that heads up that we were probably going to see a breakdown over here as that head and shoulders started to form. So it would have probably saved us from some of this terrible decline back here, just knowing that we had a bearish pattern forming. We just ended up not getting the decline that the pattern called for. And again, that's kind of a typical situation with the head and shoulders. Here is the broadening pattern, or the megaphone as we call it. And this is, you have bottoms that are getting lower and you have tops that are getting higher. And why the heck is this a bearish pattern? What's so bad about it? What it does is it tells you that volatility is coming into trading, and volatility is typically not our friend as a trader. We kind of want to stay away from a lot of volatility. So when you see these megaphone patterns showing up on your charts, that should tell you there's some struggle getting ready to happen here, or you could be ready to experience a big down a big down move if it were looking like this. Coming off of the bottom, you do know that you're going to probably get a higher rally, but that's going to be punctuated by another big decline. So we do want to avoid the megaphone or the broadening pattern. These can show up anywhere. They can be at the end of a decline. They can be at the end of a rising trend, but ultimately they are bearish patterns and we don't want to see them on our charts. This is the parabolic. This is the one that I was warning about. This is one that you're going to see kind of a lot lately. I mean, I'm very surprised at how many parabolics, but you know, with the AI craze, there's been a lot of stocks that have just been starting to go up vertically. Bitcoin's a great example of a parabolic right now, moving almost straight up. So these are, you'll notice these kind of curved moves to the upside. Basically, the rally is getting steeper and steeper and steeper. And typically, you are going to have a real hard time maintaining vertical moves. I think most of you are familiar with what goes on these stock charts, and you're not going to see vertical rises for indefinitely. That it is eventually going to break down, and parabolics tend to break down very, very quickly. I think your best bet with protecting yourself, if you're in a parabolic stock, because I wouldn't get out of it. I'm always thrilled if I find one of those parabolic stock moves. But I also know to be very careful. And what I like to do with a parabolic is set a trailing stop. It's a stop that's going to follow me upward. I will still be able to take advantage of the move to the upside, but I'll be protected on the downside. So I typically will set a deep stop on these parabolics and enjoy the ride to the upside, and be prepared for a swift breakdown that my trailing stop should protect me from. I've done this numerous times on numerous stocks that I get involved in, especially those parabolics, and it's really served me quite well. So identifying these patterns isn't actually that hard because, like I said, you'll know if you're in a parabolic. The rising trend just starts getting steeper and steeper and steeper. This is an example of Apple. And granted, you know, Apple's had some great times. Right now, it is in the process of breaking down. And part of the problem it's had was its vertical rise on the monthly charts. You'll still see that parabolic setup on there. I'll see if I have time. I can show you the most recent one. So now what about setting stops using the chart patterns? So I did talk about how you can use those. So really, first off, of course, you need to recognize what the pattern is. And I typically will like with a double bottom, you know the height of the pattern. So I measure that. And then what I do is move up. I've got my minimum downside targets. That will also tell me where to set my stop. But what I'm thinking of as far as exits go, when I'm looking at a positive pattern, is I look at the height of the pattern. So I'm trying to see if I can give you an example here. Go back. I should have one. So here's your opportunity to figure out what stop to hit. You know that you have this head and shoulders. You know that the height of the pattern is going to tell you it's going to go down here. You can set that stop if you want to protect yourself. But one of the other things I do on positive ones is I look at the height of the pattern and I'll set my stops and my targets based on the height of the pattern. So knowing those pattern measurements, that's going to give you a really good sense of where you want to set your upside targets. And for the measurements on a positive one, you can set your stop about half the height of the pattern, depending on how deep that is. Sometimes the heights of the pattern are very, very tall, like we saw. So, but the kind of the guideline I use is to take half of that pattern measurement and use that for my stop. Minimum downside targets are certainly very, very helpful, as I was talking about on that head and shoulders. That tells you where your stops definitely should be set. If you're recognizing a bearish pattern, a lot of times I'm just going to get out. But patterns don't always work out. And so maybe you want to keep the other parts of your chart are still looking healthy enough, but you know now you can set that stop. And again, I use about half the height of the pattern to determine that on setting those stops and those targets. The best thing to do, I find, is setting your stops near a support or resistance level. I think that most people are familiar with this. I usually like to have those stops somewhere between 5 and 8%. Those are my typical stop lengths. Just depends on the chart and what I'm seeing. But ultimately, it shifts from 5 to 8% depending on where support is. That's what's going to give me that that idea of where I want it to go. And there you go, that half the height of the pattern. So you can always set those stops on the downside to half the height of what your bullish pattern is. And I find that to be helpful. You could also use the stops depending on how high the patterns are. You could also use the bottom of a double bottom, because the pattern doesn't get busted until price drops beneath the pattern. So you can use the stop, set it right about the bottom of the pattern so that you know that if that's kind of your do or die, the pattern's gonna die if it gets past the bottom of the pattern. So that's another way to do it. So I'm coming to the end here already. I can't believe it. I did want to talk to you about some opportunities I have at Decision Point. I'm not an expensive letter. I am here to invite all traders to the table. And the best way to do that is to make my products accessible to everybody. So the first thing is a free Decision Point trading room. On Mondays, you can sign up for my free newsletter, or as I said, go onto my website, decisionpoint.com, and you can see the ad for the free trading room with my lovely picture here. And you just click on that ad, and it'll give you the opportunity to sign up for the live trading room, to be there at noon Eastern, to get your symbol requests looked at and get all of the information you need about the market, set you up for the week. So that's when we do our free Decision Point trading room. You can also find the replays of our trading room on our YouTube channel. And as I said, you can get to our YouTube channel at decisionpoint.com. So there's no dot in there. It's at decisionpoint.com. That's the YouTube channel that we have. And we would be thrilled if you would subscribe, and it'll give you that notification and the easy access to the free trading room. I also have two products, and really, they're extremely affordable. And for you, I'm making them even more affordable. So the Decision Point Alert, this is your daily magazine, if you will. This is your daily news. This is where you're going to find out everything you need to know about the market in a very clear, very concise, and very easy to read way. It'll set you up to know what's going on in the market in general. I cover Bitcoin, I cover the dollar, gold, bonds, gold miners, and it is billed monthly. It is $50 a month. And the Decision Point Diamond subscription, I give you 10 stock picks per week, and you will get them. They're generated from my exclusive scans. I handpick the stocks and ETFs that I give you, and we're really having quite a bit of success. And that letter is only $80 a month. So I'm not really, I'm not asking for a lot here to get you what you need to be completely prepared for your trading day. And right now, for all of you guys, the amazing special that I have for you is that you can get our bundle package, which is both of these, for only $19 for your first month. It's a great way to try us out, to see if this is what you use. We have very sticky subscribers. People come in and they don't want to leave. They're really good reports. And this is a great way for you to try them out for only $19. I mean, that's just a couple of cups of coffee for the month. I think you can, you would want to try that out. Just use the coupon code WTT, Women Teach Trading, WTT19, because you're going to get it for $19. So WTT19 is the coupon code to get your first month for just $19. And we would love to welcome you aboard. Let me show you a little bit of examples that I have that are live, and then I will close it out. If there are any questions, though, I'm happy to take those if you see any in there. All right, so here is the gold miners chart. This is a double bottom that has fulfilled, but again, minimum upside target. It hit the height of the pattern, right? Added to the top. It actually broke through yesterday, and today it's currently trading above that minimum upside target. So it does have more upside that it could go. At this point, I have plenty of other indicators under the hood that I would love to talk to you about on gold miners, but I only have so much time. So I will say that when you look at participation, the number of stocks above their 20-day EMA, their 50 and their 200, and you look at where the price is, right now you can see very good participation. 96% of gold miners right now have their price above the 20-day EMA. 71% are above the 50-day EMA. These are very strong numbers in the short term. We have our Silver Cross Index, which is starting to move up. The Silver Cross Index just tells us how many stocks have a 20-day EMA above the 50-day EMA or have a silver cross. The Golden Cross Index tells you how many stocks have a 50-day EMA above the 200 or a golden cross. So how many stocks have silver crosses? How many have golden crosses? And as you can see, that silver cross index is starting to really move upward. And given the participation we're seeing here, we should see a lot more positive crossovers or silver crosses within the gold miners. The other example I have for you is a bull flag. And this one's just now in motion, so it should give us even more upside from this. This is the France ETF. This is what I presented yesterday to my subscribers in Decision Point Diamonds. I found this flag. There's your little breakout that occurred right in there. I can make this bigger. There we go. So you had the little tiny breakout, and then boom, we got the gap up today, looking very good. The upside target is measured by the height of the pattern. So from about $38 to about $40.50 is $2.50. So we add $2.50 to the top of the pattern. That would give us a move to $43. So right now, EWQ has a minimum upside target of $43. So that's how we can use these chart patterns real time. Another pattern I want to show you right now is bothering me a lot, and that is on the S&P. Sorry, this is so small. It's set up for my newsletter. We have a rising wedge on the SPY right now. And as you remember, rising wedges are bearish, and they imply that you're going to get a breakdown from the wedge. It doesn't tell us exactly how deep that breakdown will be, but we could look at the back of the pattern to get an idea of how deep it would be. I don't think it's going to be that devastating if we do finally get a decline. At this point, I'm starting to wonder. We keep having these little stumbles, but the market ultimately moves up after them. And with what's going on with the Fed and the discussion of actually lowering rates next year by June, that could continue to keep this market elevated at this point. We have a PMO that is flat and well above the signal line. That is still signaling pure strength. So even though I do have a bearish pattern here, I have a PMO, my price momentum oscillator, similar to the PPO. And when you see it flat, well above the zero line, that signals pure strength. And that's what we still have going on within this market. So even though we have that bearish pattern, I have other indicators to tell me, okay, it's bearish, but how bearish really is it? And my sense is it's not that bearish. The other one I want to show you is a basing pattern. And I didn't talk about this one that much. This is the saucer. It's a little bit flatter than a cup, but we do have to be aware this is cup shaped. this could end up having a handle come off of it. So we're watching very closely to make sure crude oil stays above this support level, because it could be signaling that we might get a little bit of a decline here before we get the rest of the move up. Because remember, the cup with handle is a bullish pattern. The problem is we have to endure a decline to make the handle. But ultimately, this is a really good, what we call basing pattern. It's very strong. It's showing you a clear change in momentum and direction. And I've got a price momentum oscillator that's moving up, showing you that that's exactly what's happening. And we should see some more upside come out of crude oil. Right now, it's just managing to chop up and down above support right now. I'm still looking for a move to the upside in crude oil, but I am on the lookout for a possible decline back to this support level before we get the move up, simply because I do have this cup and I could be looking at a handle coming in. So those are the examples I have. I want to show you my website really quickly here. Here is the homepage. This is where you can sign up for our free newsletter down here. And this right here is where you can register for our free trading room on Mondays. And like I said, if you can't join us at noon Eastern, if you register or you subscribe to the decisionpoint.com YouTube channel at decisionpoint.com, you will be able to get those replays in the afternoon. So usually once I finish the trading room at about 1, I usually can get the videos up by about 2 p.m. Eastern. So definitely consider that. We have plenty of people who say what we do is great. You get access to all of our chart lists here. You also get access to, there's your DP alert, and there are your DP diamonds. With diamonds, I'll give you themes of things that are coming through on my scans, why I'm looking at certain things. I give you helpful hints on how to trade in my diamonds newsletter. We also have a subscriber only trading room on Fridays for Decision Point Diamond subscribers. So if you like the trading room style, this is a great place to go to get your symbols looked at. But one of the great things about our Friday trading room is we look for new opportunity. I'm not there just to look at the symbols. I'm not there to just rehash what we're looking at, you know, what we've seen. I'm in there actively running scans and giving you stock symbols to look at for the week ahead. So not only do you get those 10 stock picks per week that I write about, but on Fridays from that live trading room, I get you even more picks. So definitely worth the effort. Our DP alert is very easy to read and understand. I'm just going to flip through right quickly. We always have a lead article. We have our different, the signals that we have. We fill you in. This basically fills you in on the trading day. We tell you what's going on. Here's where we're wondering. We've got all these stumbles. And is this going to be another stumble? Looks like it might be. I've got access. There's my last trading room. So you'll have access to that right there. New highs, new lows. We do something called climax analysis, which is really great for picking out days and reversals in the very short term. We have our Swenland trading oscillators, my intermediate term breadth momentum and volume momentum. Here's where we talk about the participation in the silver and golden cross. And then here's our bias table to tell you what the bias is based on those silver and golden cross indexes. I give you a very clear and concise conclusion. If you don't have time to read the whole report, if you come down to the conclusion, you're going to get everything you need in one paragraph. I also tell you how exposed I am to the market. Not a lot of people will do that for you. There's Bitcoin, where we cover that in the ETFs, interest rates, we cover that, the 10-year yield, we cover bonds, we cover the dollar, as I said. So you'll get all of this every day, every market day, to know what to expect, what we're looking for, and just have an overall feel or sense for the market. And then there's diamonds. I'll give you a little sneak peek. Here were my diamonds for yesterday. I also give you what I call my runner-ups, the ones that I came down to a certain amount of stocks. I had to pick one. And then here's where I go through each stock and tell you what I'm seeing, what I'm expecting. I give you targets. I give you stop levels. There's the EWQ chart that I showed before, and I have a stop set below the flag pattern. So there's an example of how I can use the chart pattern to set my stop. All right, I know I'm out of time right now, so I am going to let us finish here. Again, if you need more information about me and my website, just contact me at erin@decisionpoint.com. Like I said, I'm happy to forward you the slides. If you want to have your own primer on chart patterns, just send me an email and I will get that out to you. Just stopped at noon. Sorry, I didn't give you those extra 3 minutes.